Okay, we'll call to order the May 6th Town of Curie Beach Planning and Zoning Commission meeting.
Historic Commission.
No, we were planning and zoning to start with.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, we do.
HPC.
HPC.
I thought so. We're doing this.
We're not doing planning and zoning?
HPC first.
Gosh, okay.
Thank you, I'm not messing.
My gosh, okay.
And just a reminder, everyone needs to speak into the microphone.
Sorry, well, okay, we'll call to order the Town of Curie Beach Historic Preservation Commission for Wednesday, May 6th, 2020. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, next item is the adoption of the minutes from the March 4th, 2020 regular meeting. So just take a minute and look at this. And if anybody has any recommendations or suggestions for changes.
It's a very short meeting. I'll just make a motion to adopt the minutes from the March 4th, 2020 regular meeting.
Okay. There's been a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Next item is public comment. Do we have anybody on the phone for public comments?
No.
Hearing none. Okay. Next item is old business. This is the update on the designation report for downtown Curie Beach Historic Overlay District. A number of things, and I think everybody has received the emails, my summer emails. In addition, I believe all the commission members have received the information and materials from the state. I think the starting point is probably the summary of the two meetings that we've had, virtual meetings. The first meeting, and I believe, can we bring this up? Which would be my email, which summarizes the...
That's April 25th.
Yeah, there's two emails. One was the summary of the virtual meeting. And then we have the summary that I put together of the walkabout.
What are the dates on the emails, just so we can find them? The walkabout is...
Oh, here they are.
The
25th is the virtual. It's in the subject.
And in April 8th appears to be the next one. So we've got a little one.
Yeah, the first one is the April 25th, which is a summary of the virtual meeting with the HBC, and we had a number of, I think, people there. Basically, what we talked about is, again, we brought it up right here. Let's see.
April 8th is your virtual meeting.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, so the summary is, overall, they like the report. We went through a number of different things. The three major issues that I think they identified, and we spent one of the issues we probably spent about 90% of our time on. And again, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but clearly the major issue that I think is relevant to what we were talking about, and Mr. Eldridge may or may not agree with this, but that has to do with establishing the foundation in the report for the design guidelines that will be part of the COA type of process. The reason for this, and this is something that I think was kind of explained to us that we weren't quite aware of, is the legal implications of this, is that if there's going to be a challenge to the COA by anybody, what they have found, and this is the recommendation of the state, is that they... challenge and the legal challenge would go back to the original report and see if the foundation has been established properly. Do you want to add to that, Mr. Ulrich?
No, I think that's correct. The designation, we're talking about the designation report, not
yes.
The design guidelines. And the designation report has figured largely in two or three legal cases dealing with challenges to historic district regulations. So you're right about that.
Okay. And that came up again in our conversation when we did the virtual walkabout also. So that becomes very important. So what a major issue is that can we add language to the designation report that establishes the foundation for what a 1960s, 1970s beach community is all about. So that becomes a very important part of this. The other thing that they mentioned is that they would like to have seen an inventory of all the buildings that were in the district, proposed district. Our original report just looked at more of the older buildings, 1920s, 30s, 50s, 60s, but obviously we have some newer buildings, and so they asked for a complete inventory of that.
And lots,
yes. And then the third is that they wanted a better site plan, that the site plan that we included was not as clean as perhaps what they were looking for. What we talked about is a revision of the report, and I'm going to go ahead and go now, but we don't need to bring it up unless anybody wants, but I'm going to go back to the official letter that was sent by the North Carolina Department of Natural and Cultural Resources. And I should point out that it did come out in the virtual walkabout that they really haven't had a historic district overlay proposal in several years. And so they, you know, my opinion is that the folks that we talked to really didn't have a lot of experience. They kept falling back onto the idea of historic buildings and historic landmarks and all that sort of thing rather than historic district. But here it is right there. This is the official letter that comes from the North Carolina Department of Natural and Cultural Resources. The first couple paragraphs just talks about the district and all that sort of thing, that they've shared the recommendation. The fourth paragraph is that it recognizes the area of the area is worthy of preservation because of its special significance to the local community. Thank you for the opportunity to comment on the report, and they did provide some comments on the report. And this, I think, is the most important and significant statement right here. Please note our comments are advisory only and therefore non-binding. Once the governing board had received the recommendation from the Curie Beach Historic Preservation Commission, it should proceed in the same manner as would otherwise be required for amendment to the zoning ordinance. Once the designation has been made, please return a completed copy of the enclosed form to our office. And the enclosed form was also included on their email. And then they say that this letter provides comments and all that sort of thing. So the important thing to understand is that the comments are advisory only. And again, we can debate and talk about which one of the comments I think are substantial, but I think that certainly what came out of the virtual meeting and probably the virtual walkabout too, which I'll talk about in a second, is the idea of establishing the foundation for any legal challenges to the design guidelines as part of the process with the COA. Would anybody else want to add anything that was present for the first virtual meeting? Not the walkabout, but the virtual meeting? Mr. Eldridge, you were present?
Yeah, I do have some comments, but they're not necessarily limited to that virtual
meeting. Yeah.
Follow through for our interactions.
Okay. Bill, I think you were present there.
Yeah,
any comments? Okay.
The
second kind of virtual meeting was the walkabout. This came about and because they always, as part of the process, visit and do a walkabout of the district, or if it's a historical building or something like that, come down and look at it. Obviously, with COVID-19, they didn't do that, so we kind of worked out a method to do a virtual walkabout where I had my cell phone. We did it on Zoom. We walked about. We went the whole district. And then we had about an hour, what I thought would be about a half-hour walkabout turned into an hour, 45-minute discussion. So after we did the walkabout, we did about another 45-minute discussion. Again, a lot of it really focused on architectural and building materials because, again, the folks that were present there, there are five people from the state that were present. I would say probably four of them were primarily interested in historic landmarks, and so they kept falling back on the historic landmark designation and that sort of thing. But again, it also did come up about establishing the foundation again for legal challenges. I thought the district was, or the walkabout was very good. We did have a discussion about the vacant buildings. I think once they realized that the vacant buildings we're not capturing things that weren't already having buildings on it. These are vacant buildings that were originally had buildings during the 1920s, 1940s, and 1950s.
Are you referring to the vacant lots?
The vacant lots, yeah. So the vacant lots were actually buildings at one time that had been torn down or taken down by hurricanes. Because a lot of their concern about vacant buildings, or excuse me, vacant lots, have to do with historic districts that are capturing vacant lots that were not at any time developed. But I think once they realize that our vacant lots were actually developed at one time and during the historic time period that we were talking about, that they were less concerned about that. And so there was some concern about kind of pulling those vacant lots out of the historic district, but I think once they realized that it was actually part of the historic building environment at one particular time, then the recommendation is that those vacant lots be within the historic district. And I think that was the major contribution that came out of the walkabout. They were very impressed with the process, and I think that they'll probably do more virtual walkabouts in the future than actually coming down and visit. So, I think it worked out very well. And again, Bill, you weren't there. We didn't have any other commission members there, but Mr. Eldridge, you were there. Any comments on that specific thing?
The walkabout was very good. The video was so clear. It was such a beautiful day. Zoom worked perfectly well. It was really a success.
Yeah.
Virtual tour.
All right. So that's kind of...
I'm sorry. I just talked to Mr. Garibay, and I need a motion to excuse him. He is not going to be at the meeting tonight. He got the dates confused, and he has a conference call for work.
Okay.
Motion to excuse.
Second. All right. All in favor say aye.
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 Thank
okay.
you, and I apologize.
All right. No problem. All right. So anyway, that's a summary of the two meetings that we had. Again, we had to be careful that we couldn't have a quorum within the meeting, so we had to limit the number of people on the two virtual meetings. But now we are a quorum here, and so I think that with that summary, let me turn it over to Mr. Eldridge, because I know you have broader comments, and then we can discuss it.
Thanks, Chairman. Am I using this? Okay?
Yeah, she's going to excuse me for into it. Maybe that it
like
does.
That. hang on.
Keep talking.
I agree with all your comments. I understand that the state's comments are advisory. Hang on just a minute. And I think you and I agree that even though they're advisory, the need to revise the report to tease out that foundation is required in this instance, simply as a means of risk management against legal challenges, which could happen once you control because of the developmental pressures. For the people that weren't part of those discussions, the revision to tease out that what is needed is primarily the result of the terms used in the statute, which are very gray and very fuzzy. Words like you can designate a district that has a certain feeling or a certain association, those are not very precise terms. So our job is to take what is there and express it in a way that has some specificity to it to withstand possible legal challenges. What I would recommend, Chairman, as the most efficient way to proceed, is for you and I to conference on with the recommendations in front of us and divvy up those chores. A lot of the technical stuff, I think, would fall into your daily week. And I would like the option of trying to tease out that foundation. I don't see that being more than a page or two, that part. But I want to be involved in that in the beginning instead of at the end reviewing somebody else's product along those lines.
Okay. Should point out that I maybe expressed a little bit of frustration at the end of our hour-long meeting after the walkabout, because they kept referring to all the things that we needed to have, and I pointed out that we followed their template exactly. our template or our report followed exactly what they gave to us as the model template that they wanted.
And I would make two more comments. I'm going to rely heavily on that template. The other two comments are this. I forgot to mention it before, so they're a little bit out of context. It's very telling. It's very impressive, and it's very telling that the town has a team of six or seven state-level experts helping us along. That's impressive, but it's also, as Chairman and I chuckled about in a follow-up phone call, it seems to be pretty illustrative of the stay-at-home order as well.
Bureaucracies that people that don't have a lot of other things to do. So, yeah.
And the Chairman is absolutely right. There was a majority of those experts whose expertise seemed to be, the scope of that expertise seemed to be related to the skin, the exterior skin of designated landmarks. And at the same time, they acknowledged that our exterior skins in the district have changed because of storms and changing conditions. So they made some valid points, some of which we don't have to worry about, some of which is going to take a little bit of work to pull them out, but easily done. It's just going to take some time and some coordination.
And it should point out, when I was getting a little frustrated about having a template that we follow very closely that they, you know, kind of backed away from, and they said, well, we need to put another model report. I think that we ask for an example of the model report, and I believe that Mr. Eldridge asked for an example of the site map that they were looking for. We have, as far as I know, we have not received anything from them, have we?
No, sir, and that reminds me of one more comment. I do think that it's necessary to have a map or site plan introduced along the lines of what you would see in a land development approval application, something done by an engineer with some of the criteria that they want to see on that. I do think that's important, and I don't see that as a big ticket item. How that recommendation is run through council, as I would see that as a revision to the report. How we make that happen, I'm not privy to those procedures.
So the bottom line is that the general feeling is that we do need to make a revision of the areas that we talked about, probably add a description that establishes the foundation for the design guidelines. That kind of justifies what a beach community, a North Carolina beach community, 1960s, 1950s, up to 1970s feels like. We need to add a better map in there and maybe do a more complete inventory of the buildings. I think those are the three things that really came out of it. They have agreed to informally, it's not required at all, but they agreed informally to look at our revised designation report, which I think we should take advantage of. But I don't think any of the three recommendations that they really focused on are that difficult. Having said that, how do you define the nature of an ambiance or culture? And so what I did is I spent about 3 hours searching the UNCW library, a number of different keywords. I searched Google Scholar. I just went into Google, and I couldn't find much of anything that has been published that specifically we can put our hands on that defines the architecture or the feel for what a 1960s Carolina beach community is about. So we're going to have to come up with our own language. I did find a couple words, though. Let me quickly. In the Journal of Urban History, when they were talking about oceanfront architecture and stuff like that, they use the word informality of oceanfronts with a framework of bold contemporary architecture. You know, so the informality and kind of comes out as the nature of it.
Can you state that again?
It's the and this is actually referring to Southern California too, but it's the only thing I could find. This is called the Urban Renewal by the Sea, Reinventing the Beach for the Suburban Age in Post-War Los Angeles. It says that the traditional informality of the oceanfront with the framework of bold contemporary architecture. And that's referring to 1965 Santa Monica.
Bold
contemporary architecture for the mid-1960s.
Do you think we've got any bold contemporary architecture?
sure was bold for the 1960s. I did find a reference looking at architectural design for 1970s residential beach houses in North Carolina, and the only thing that was referenced in this for residential was central breezeways and bleached wood details and pastel colors. And other than that, I struck out. I mean, that was all I could find after 3 hours of searching on keywords. So I think we are going to have to probably define ourselves what the foundational language would look like, because I just couldn't find anything in 3 hours of research.
Don't mean you take this the wrong way, but I'm entirely confident we can come up with something very good.
Okay. All right. Maybe we should publish it.
Maybe we'll be a model for others.
All right. Is there discussion from the commission? I know we've kind of set the foundation for a discussion here, but let's kind of open it up.
I know I wasn't part of the virtual tour, but I do believe we need to follow those three guidelines and use the opportunity to have the state review it again. I think that would help solidify whatever foundation we put into place. So I think that's a good plan of action.
Other commission members?
As long as we understand that we're not going to continually get feedback from them, because it's like putting something in front of a professor. They keep reading it and they keep coming back with more suggestions that didn't have the first time.
Yes, you're right. I think that's a very good point. And I, again, that's why I wanted to read the official letter saying that it's non-binding, it's advisory only, and that certainly they were quite willing to informally look at it a second time, but recognizing, and they made it quite clear, that's not part of the statute process, is to look at it a second time. So,
correct. So that, there's no approval process from the state?
No.
So what we come up with is the first for something like this. We'll be setting the standard.
You might jump in. I don't recall if there's any other oceanfront type historic districts in North Carolina. And I think they were very excited about what we're trying to do. And again, I'm very confident that we can tease out what we need to tease out.
Any comments from our council member representative?
No, I think it all works good.
So you feel that we should still pursue this? And
yeah.
Okay, all right.
Council is behind it. It was a positive vote.
Okay.
It's impressive.
And we'll probably have to rely upon John for a lot of significant contribution in architectural design and materials and things like that.
Sorry. Happy to help.
Right, thank you. Okay.
Do we need to set up a schedule for the just work on them when you're there?
I think Chairman and I figured we could get the necessary revisions done in the next 30 days.
I think we can, and have a proposed revised designation report to the commission to look at and discuss.
Right. But if we like it and they have comments on it, we're going to propose that to council. We're going to, you know, we think that...
what I would suggest is, at that point, and because they're, keep in mind what we said about these people. It's advisory, their board, their expertise is more specific than what we need.
Right.
So it would be my understanding that once something, we'll do it, we'll give it to them, we'll bring it back to you. If they, and as we pass it on to council, if there's any of their comments, well, we'll pass on their secondary set of comments, and then policy can be what it is.
Okay.
That's what I would
say. Yeah, but the answer, there's no, when we first started the process, I thought that there had to, it was an official approval process by the state. It turns out that it's not. We're required by statute to submit it for review, but the review is advisory and non-binding only.
Okay.
That's a good thing.
Yes, yes. So, in fact, we don't even have to resubmit it. I mean, we could go to council with exactly what we have, but I think the three things that they did mention are significant enough that we should revise it. Yes.
Well, we asked them for their comment. They gave it. We all addressed it.
Are we going to review it before it gets sent back to them to look at, or is this going to
Yes, that's the plan, is that Mr. Eldridge and I will...
The timeline on this will probably mean it goes to council in August. Because you're talking... We're going to see it in June. They're going to go. They're going to have to take a look at it. We may get it back in July, and then we have to review it.
I think we'll probably get it back within 10 or 15 days.
Which means we have to. We'll send it to them in August, most likely. And this is
possibly to council at the July meeting, but most likely August.
Yeah, you action and consideration action probably August, because they'll have to have a public hearing. July.
But we would probably submit it. And not only that, but we would also have to come up with the language, because this is a zoning change. So we'd also have to come up with the language, not just submit the report, but the zoning language.
We've got to draft the text amendment.
Yes, the text amendment form. Which I anticipate would be our July meeting for doing that.
Okay. Yeah. Is a public comment before it goes to council, or does council do the public comment?
Council does the official, because of the zoning change.
Right.
So they do the official public comment. I mean, we have public comments here, and that we have open meetings, but you know, the official comment would be with the council because of the zoning change.
Chairman's right. After we agree on the designation report, everything else that's required is just like the text amendments, some of which are going to be doing.
I guess I'm not seeing the timeline though. If we're able to come up with language now and revise it for the next meeting, would we not be approving it at the next meeting to submit to council and concurrently submit to the state for a secondary review?
After we approve it, it's got to be submitted back to the state.
It doesn't have to be.
But that's what that's
what
we're talking about.
What I would encourage, particularly under a state of emergency, is let's not focus so much on the timeline. We're doing good. We're making progress. They like what we've done. We understand what we need to do and what happens after that. I don't think we're going to sit around and twiddle our thumbs while we get there.
And it should point out the state is very interested and very positive. I mean, they want to see. I mean, that's their job, is historic preservation. So the state is very interested in and excited about seeing a historic district here in Kerry Beach.
I just didn't
there's no question about that.
Extra months in there that may not be necessary.
I would agree. I think we move as quickly as possible on this. Yeah. But we could, when we come back, let's say, with our revised report for our June meeting, we could have a discussion as to whether we want to submit it right away at the same time, or we want to wait when we get response from the, I mean, that could be a commission decision.
Okay.
Is there any further discussion on old business? Oops, lost my agenda here.
Here.
There it is. Here. Is this? Okay. Okay. All right. Any new business? Okay. Hearing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 I don't know why I thought P&Z goes first. It's right even there. It says 6 o'clock.
Yeah, but they put it in there.